This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 119. Tom, how's it going? Waving today.
Yep.
That was good.
Thanks.
You, next time, should wave with your other hand. You know, just to mix it up a bit.
Spicy.
Yeah. So nobody knows what's going to happen next. It's crazy. But I can tell you what's happening this episode.
What's that?
I've watched a whole entire season of something in the space of a couple of days.
Was it a British comedy from the 90s of six episodes?
You would think so. This was a new show from America, seven episodes.
Oh.
So pretty quick.
Still.
Yeah.
Well done to you.
Thank you so much. And also, I guess, the people that made it. But more me, more me. And we've got a quiz. I made this one up and I'm quite happy with it.
All right.
Yeah. I think you're going to go okay, but I also know you're not going to get it all because I had to do research to get it all.
Okay, so there's some stumpers.
Yeah, that's right. We've been watching things like The Walking Dead. We'll have a quick chat at some point about that, but let's jump into the news with you, Tom.
Oh, okay. I'm up first.
Yes.
Big up to our local boy, Lee Wannell. I don't know if you saw, but he's becoming more and more of a mover and shaker in Hollywood. Invisible Man came out and did very well.
Elizabeth Moss?
Yeah, smashed the expectations and all this sort of stuff. So well done to him. He has signed a two-year first-look deal with Blumhouse.
Now, he's been working with Blumhouse
for like 10 years.
Yeah.
They've done Insidious and all the Annabelles and the spin-offs from that. I think he was involved with Conjuring. I know James Wan was.
I'm pretty sure Invisible Man is also from Blumhouse, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a long-time thing. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that a J.J. Abrams or one of those guys gets, a first-look deal. So it means anything he writes, wants to direct or produce, he can bring to them and they'll consider it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
To think he was just the movie review guy on Recovery all those years ago.
Yeah, what a dude.
That's wild.
It's so cool.
I did see him on Twitter yesterday having a few tweets with fans and stuff. I thought that's pretty cool.
He just always comes across as still just a dude.
Well, he was on the Recovery docker.
Yeah, but just like he hasn't gone Hollywood at all.
No, I don't think he has. Speaking of people who have gone Hollywood, so Oprah Winfrey, she's on her North America wellness tour. Now, I can just picture Gwyneth Paltrow just going green with envy about this. Why didn't I come up with a North American wellness tour? If anybody's going to rival Gwyneth in the wellness tour, it's going to be Oprah. And she has, except it's called Oprah's 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus. Anyway, she was on stage talking about how easy it is to balance yourself in life. And she was saying, here's my definition of what wellness means to me. Wellness to me means all things in balance. And balance doesn't mean all things equal or at a peace at all times. And then splat.
Fell down.
She was walking slowly on the stage and then just fell. Like not only fell but toppled over.
It had
sideways.
To be that the way you'd led with balance,
so much
and
balance,
vision, and 2020.
She was literally saying this as she fell over. She's blaming her shoes. I must say, I have watched it a couple of times, and it does look like maybe the heel of one of her shoes has gone. Well, they weren't very high heels, but maybe it broke. But everybody, I love the crowd because it was a mixture of Queen Oprah.
She'd probably get a six-part documentary out of her recovery.
She should. Maybe she could have Gwyneth Paltrow talking about how to get well. Wellness ahoy hoy.
And now, a word from our sponsor. You've read all the self-help books and listened to all the podcasts purporting to know the secret key on how to make you a better you. You could end up being cynical and screaming into the wind that no one knows the real me and how could they possibly know what it takes to make me a better me? Or you could listen intently, make notes and one of those vision board things and go about changing yourself. create a superior version of yourself in every way. Your peak you, getting stuff done, making the most of every second of the day. Productivity is through the roof and you're basically the superhero version of yourself. But something is wrong. Something is a little off and you can't quite put your finger on it, mainly because you're too busy being the optimum you. Then you realise you've tapped all the tappable potential inside you. You're bored with your new smug self and looking in the mirror whilst Instagram worthy makes you groan and roll your eyes excessively. This is where we can help. We've written over 24 books and have 57 different podcasts where we teach people to untap the tapped potential and revert back to your former lovable lazy self. Visit stopbeingannoying.com.au for 10% off the untappable today.
Judge Judy wrapping up.
I saw this.
Yeah, 25 years, 25 seasons, something like that. She's the highest paid like reality person, $71 million a year. And she did something where she sold the rights off to the old ones to CBS or like.
So they can play the reruns.
Yeah, but it was she didn't really have the legal right to sell them or something like that. There was a whole lot of hot water about it. Anyway, so she has a couple of years off and then she's coming back as Justice Judy.
Yeah, and isn't it almost the exact same show, but it's where's it going to be? Is it at a streaming site or something?
I think it's now with more Poochie. I think, you know what I mean? Like it's like the Simpsons reboot style of just it's the same but...
Same but different name, different set.
Anyway, I have not seen that show in 20 plus years. Apparently she has different hair.
I saw the different hair because I saw the photograph of her talking to Ellen on the Ellen show.
Sure.
Where they're talking about this.
With no robe.
Her hair, I don't know, her hair didn't look as...
I thought she was going to be three small children under that robe.
She's a very short woman, isn't she?
Mm.
I've seen paparazzi photos of her walking down the street wearing jeans and stuff, and I went,
no.
You, that's not allowed.
I don't want that at all.
Do not do that. I saw that even though there's already a trailer for Stranger Things season 4 out, like that was about a month ago.
Yeah, it's been out for a bit.
Looks like they're still doing filming because they've put out a casting call for background roles. They're looking for people 18 or over to play seedy neighbourhood patrons. Filming is going to take place very soon, at the end of this week, actually, in Atlanta, Georgia. They pay $80 for 8 hours of work. That's $10 an hour.
But you're probably going to Steve's party.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty good. You get lots of Chips Ahoy as well, so that'd be worth it. Now, I had a bit of a look at what extras make here in Australia, and I found on the MCTV website, which is like a talent management site. There's a minimum pay rate for Media and Arts Alliance where extras get $110 and it's a minimum of 4 hours and kids get 50% of that.
Okay.
So it's a little, I guess we get paid a bit more. Well, we definitely do, but.
Do you think extras in America work for tips?
Maybe. Also, I would be under the impression that extras would get more work in America as well.
Sure, yeah.
Where the extras in Australia would be more, oh, this would be fun to go and do once.
Yeah, you get to do a zombie film every 2 years, a Mad Max every four.
Yeah, that's right. I always assume that the walkers, the zombies they have in The Walking Dead, they just use the same people all the time. They just dress them up differently.
I think so, especially some of the hero zombies that are really good at performing.
And they're really skinny because they have to be under those. Yeah, they have to be under those suits that look like they're just skin and bones.
Remember when we used to have fat walkers, like the one that fell in the well?
It's one of my favorites. Didn't Glenn get stuck with him?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good time. Good time. What else have you got?
Look, talking about filming extra stuff, there's a rumor going around this morning that Ben Stiller may be filming some sort of thing for Fast and the Furious 9, aka F9. Which is awesome, and I'm so there for. I don't care. He could be all sorts of, like, it could be just a throwaway comedic thing. Like, maybe he's a hapless government agent who gets flustered in a few scenes and
takes his sunglasses off really
damn
quickly.
Damn it, Toretto.
Yeah.
Give me a Corona.
I'm trying to think of which. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think of which kind of Ben Stiller role it would be. Would it be like your Zoolander, where he has to pull a face into the camera, or is it more like a bumbling "How I Met Your Parents," meet the parents, or whatever.
There's so many ways it could go. They could have that. They could have him be a bad guy. So Charlize Theron is back, and she's clearly working with or for someone. And there was hints at that in Hobbs and Shaw as well. So maybe he's there and he's the big bad guy. And maybe it's him having fun with it, like Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder, where he's in the fat suit and being ridiculous. Or, so we know that John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother.
Yep.
Maybe, just maybe, Ben Stiller is another brother and he's like the one that didn't go to the gym.
So he's like the Danny DeVito to the Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's the runt.
Ooh. And in that respect, then he could play a character similar to his Reality Bites character.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trying to act bigger and more successful.
I'm thinking like Dodgeball, where he's Tug Speedman.
As long as he has a moustache. It was an impressive moustache. Okay.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller in a Fast and Furious movie. All right.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw the Billie Eilish's song No Time To Die, you know, for the Bond movie that's coming out. Or it's already a huge hit in the UK. Track sold more than 90,000 copies, which says a lot because everybody streams songs these days.
It has been sitting on the new songs top left feature of iTunes for
the
more
whole
than a
time.
Week.
It's been streamed 10.6 million times. It's been out, what, 2 weeks, you reckon?
Yeah, about that.
Something like that. I've streamed it. I've had a listen. It's good. So the only other Bond song to grab number one in the UK was Sam Smith's from 2015, I think. That must be the last movie. So I had a bit of a look at the top 10 songs from Bond. So she's now number one, then Sam Smith. Adele with Skyfall is at number three. Then you've got... Skyfall is an equal second with Duran Duran's A View to Kill from 85. Die Another Day, Madonna, is with Louis Armstrong's All We Have All the Time in the World. I don't know that song. We Have All the Time We Have in the World from 94. So that would be a...
I'm going to be honest. Every Bond song to me, it doesn't matter what it is, it's the title of the song. But going, so it's like Skyfall,
yeah.
Or A View to Kill. Like in my head, they've all blended that way. So
Goldeneye, Tina Turner, World Is Not Enough, Goldfinger, Diamonds Are Forever. They're like the ones that I always think about.
Diamonds Are Forever is Kanye now.
Oh, Shirley's gonna be so angry you said that. Bassie, not.
Oh, I know,
Manson.
But he like straight up stole that.
If you asked him, what would he say?
Throw your diamonds in the sky. Diamonds are forever. Forever.
Do you know
forever,
what other ever? Song I'm seeing?
I think it's called Diamonds of Sierra Leone. I don't know. I don't know.
We don't know Kanye enough.
No.
Let's get out of this.
Let's get out of that. All right. Well, I'm going to grab the wheel. If you love Hawaii Five-0, I've got some bad news.
What?
It is wrapping up this season at the end of season 10.
10.
Yeah. We've done 240 episodes. Which sounds like a lot, but the original Hawaii Five-0 did like 279 episodes. So that's an awful lot of Hawaii Five-0 if you want to keep watching that.
And he just wore that blue suit the whole time,
pretty
didn't
much,
he?
Pretty much.
From what I recall.
Yeah. Look, from what I understand, that a big part of why they're wrapping up now, apart from the fact that they've done so many episodes that they're in syndication forever and it's all good, is that very early in like season two or something like that, the main guy really hurt himself doing the show and like, proper back issues since then.
Gee.
And a lot of pain meds and this sort of stuff. So he's done well to get 10 years out of it.
Yeah. Do you think that the people who have been working, either the cast or the crew, will stay in Hawaii?
So crew-wise, yes. And the production company that makes the show also makes MacGyver. They also make Magnum P.I. And Magnum P.I. is also in Hawaii. So plenty of people just transfer over to that. Like early January, there was a crossover episode between Magnum P.I. and Hawaii Five-0 because they're all just there on the island together.
Fair enough.
People that were on Lost have been on Hawaii Five-0. Like Hurley has been on he was a guest star for two seasons and then he's just been main cast for about 5 years.
Yeah, right.
Locke, Terry O'Quinn, he's been on, I think, 6 of the 10 seasons, all this sort of thing. You know what I mean? People.
So they've been essentially living in Hawaii for over 15 years then.
Pretty much.
That's their home.
Yeah. It's only a 4-hour flight to LA. They have to go and do stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a massive commute.
Yeah, I guess so. I always think of it as so far away from mainland America.
It's 10 hours for us
Yeah.
From Sydney and it's 4 hours from LA, which
Interesting.
Is the sort of thing that you could do on a Sunday evening, work for the week, and then go back, fly back Friday night. And then...
That's what people do for mining work, yeah. Don't they?
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or... Hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
I remember we talked about this, last year sometime. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were going to do a movie together. It was going to be called The Last Duel.
I remember.
Then I totally forgot about it until I saw some photos from the set and they are amazing. So they're medieval looking because it's set in the 14th century. But the best part is their hair. Ben Affleck has got blonde hair.
Ooh.
And then to top that off, he's got a goatee but without the moustache. And that's blonde as well.
Oh, that's a lot of choice.
It's a big choice, but it gets better than that.
Right.
Then
what's
I saw
Matt
the
Damon?
Photographs. This, you're not even going to be surprised when I say this. So he's kept his graying hair, but he's cut it into a mullet.
Yep.
He just looks like your 14th century version of Matt Damon.
Does he look like Matt Damon?
A little bit. Adam Driver's going to be in the movie as well. So if he doesn't have ridiculous hair, I'm going to be super angry. It's directed by...
Is he playing like your Sheriff of Nottingham?
That's kind of what I'm thinking because if we remember what the story's about, so these Frenchmen, that's who they're French, they have to fight each other over whether or not the other raped one, whoever's wife. So the Matt and Ben characters. So I'm assuming Adam Driver's there to look concerned. Maybe he's the law or something. He'll have his goatee. I just hope he's done something with his hair. Whilst frowning.
Mm.
So I think they've made quite bold hair choices for the subject matter of the movie.
Do you think it could prove distracting?
That's particularly the Ben Affleck hair. That's a thing.
Awkward. So there's been a lot of talk about Indiana Jones 5 over the last week, which is cool, I guess.
5? Feels like there's been more than that.
Well, they did the 3 and there was the young Indiana Jones show. And then they did 4, The Crystal Skull.
So that was the one with Cate Blanchett.
That's the one with Shia LaBeouf. I think Cate Blanchett's in that one too.
I think she might be the bad guy.
Yeah, but yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, he is. He's got the motorbike. That's right.
Swinging with monkeys. Anyway, they've been talking for years that they would do Indiana Jones 5.
And they're coming through in the threat.
Well, a few days ago, Harrison Ford was like, we're only going to do it if we're going to kill it. And I'm pretty sure we're going to kill it. And then the next day, Steven Spielberg was like, oh, I'm out. And yeah, he's like, I'm not directing that. So now apparently James Mangold might direct it, which is awesome because he did Logan.
Oh.
And if like I could see an old man version of Indiana Jones, and it would be a nice bookend almost to Last Crusade, where he was the son battling with the father.
Yep.
No one wants Shia LaBeouf to come back,
but
I could see James Mangold doing something very cool with a semi-retired Indiana Jones being forced back into the fold by Nazis today.
Feels like it's going to have a real different feel to it than other Indiana Joneses.
Yes. Unless Mangold goes for the full, you know.
Spielberg attempt, yeah.
He could pull a J.J. Abrams.
That's true. My last story is last week Disney Plus announced that the production of the new Lizzie McGuire revival was going to be put on hold. Because they fired the original series creator and she was also doing like the showrunner work on this revival. And that was a bit controversial and Hilary Duff was not happy, Jan, about it. So instead of just not talking about it, she's gone onto Instagram trying to like rile the fans up.
She's just gone and thrown shade. Like,
yeah.
Spilled tea and it's look at me being youthful.
I know, you're so youthful.
Thank you.
So's Hilary. But what I thought was interesting was I wonder how this is going to go down at Disney. Because she's telling the fans is she would love it if Disney still made the show. But said it, gave it to Hulu so it could be more than just a G or PG rated show.
She wants Lizzie to have grown up, which makes a lot of sense because no kid today is going to be clamoring for new fresh Lizzie.
But I'm wondering if Disney in their minds thought when they said, yes, yeah, yeah, sure, Lizzie McGuire, let's get that back again, if it was going to be like a Fuller House situation.
I was going to say 200% that they wanted a new version of, like with Raven. They used to have That's a Raven. Now they have Raven's Home where she's the mother and it's mainly focused on the kids. She still gets to do funny stuff and collect her paycheck. That's clearly what they wanted. And instead the show, from all accounts, they've done what they did with Veronica Mars, of just take it to a different network where they're allowed to be more adult and continue the story.
I wonder how it's going to go.
I think it's a bit dead in the water.
Yeah. I never watched Lizzie McGuire, so I have no tie into it, apart from the fact that I know who Hilary Duff is. Oh, and that she did the show. But maybe she was not down with the fact that she would have to play the mother of a new star. She still wants to be the star. I guess it's understandable.
Lizzie McGuire Jr.
She's called her daughter Lizzie. Any other news stories?
A few brief ones. Number one this morning, very sad news that James Lipton passed away, age 91. Host of Inside the Actors Studio and been in plenty of TV shows and movies making fun of himself over the years.
I saw an old interview of his. An article where they were interviewing him and they asked who was his favourite person to interview. And he said, well, I always wanted to have an ex-student come back who was incredibly successful, and that was Bradley Cooper. Well, that was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, look, he was a big influence on my interviewing style back in the day. I watched his stuff an awful lot to get – he was very good at asking not leading questions but opening questions that led. And so he would invite people to take the conversation where they felt comfortable, which is a very distinct style.
And he didn't always have one person. You know, sometimes it was a whole cast. And to have them sit there and not, I guess, feel awkward whilst the others were answering questions is a bit of an art form as well.
Very much so. Yeah, he was I don't know, very, very different style. A lot of that was afforded to him because he was allowed to do long-form interviews. He wasn't there to do a four-minute quick piece for Entertainment Tonight with a few sound grabs. And that just led to his very conversational style. And he just had – I loved all his questions that he would ask at the end.
Oh, like your favourite swear word, that kind of thing, yeah. I quite enjoyed Will Ferrell's impersonation of him, because I think he managed to point out things that James does that you didn't realise he did.
Yep.
And then once you saw the Will Ferrell thing, you went back and watched it and you were, oh.
It's a great impression.
He's doing all of it, yeah. Very clever. Sad news.
I was very excited to see the first promotional still from What We Do in the Shadows Season 2.
Ooh, I haven't seen it.
There is a new, I'm not sure if it's a full-time guest cast. I think it will be maybe just a one-off, but Haley Joel Osment has joined the cast as a zombie. He may not be a zombie to begin with.
Okay.
But he's going into a house full of undead creatures.
This has me excited.
It may not work out so well for him. Basically, the promo photo was him missing an arm.
Okay.
But being zombie about it, not, and I'm pretty chill.
Yeah. Well, that's what zombies do. They chill.
He's not trying to eat brains.
Mm.
So he may not be a straight up zombie. He may be more like a reanimated ghoul that they're going to force to do work or something. I don't know. But I'm there for it.
It's a lot of storylines.
And on the flip side of scary stuff,
you
see that trailer for Candyman?
Yep.
You going to watch that one?
No.
Didn't think you would.
That's not a thing. And I'm never going to say those two words together, just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah, you never know.
It gives a whole new context for Destiny's Child, Say My Name.
I know. I thought they used that well.
He owns that now. Jordan Peele, every trailer, he messes with some pop song and changes the context. Like the use in Us, I cannot listen to I Got Five on it anymore. I have it on my high rotation playlist in the car and it comes on and I'm like, nope.
Do you know what song I think the low-hanging fruit song was Christina Aguilera's Candyman, but he went, no.
Say My Name.
Yeah. Very clever. But I'm also a bit worried about Christina Aguilera now. Well, she seems to be fine.
It is just weirdly brought up long-buried fear for me.
I know of it, but I've never. I prefer to say Beetlejuice a few times because he's annoying.
I think I saw Candyman when I was about 13. It had an effect.
Did you sleep with the lights on that night?
No, I was never like that. It was never a sleep time that was the bother for me. Because sleep was Freddy. and Freddie was a joke. And I've enjoyed the comedy of that. Moving around the house at night, that's what would bother me. And mirrors.
Can't go to the toilet then.
Oh, I can't go near, like, I'm fine with it now, but I could not go near mirrors in the dark. Anyway, Candyman.
Candyman.
It's going to fuck me up.
So you will do it?
Probably. If I get some people to go with me.
Yeah.
There's plenty of horror. I will, if it's a joke horror, I will happily go and see it by myself. But I have learned the hard way. Jordan Peele movies are unsettling alone.
Yeah. You might have to start asking people now, just sort of get them ready.
Oh, I don't know who the right crowd is because, like, Get Out, I specifically chose to go on the day when pensioners get a discount. So it was me and a cinema full of old white people really not on board with the message of this movie. It made for a fantastic experience. Then I saw Us by myself and that was...
That was hard going?
Well, the clue was in the title. See this film with other people. It's not much fun alone. It's one of those sorts of things.
Okay.
So, yeah, Candyman, I'm not doing that again. I need someone else there so we can hide together.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Watching suggestions. I've done a bit of watching. Actually, I'm going to...
Hang on a second.
What?
Do that again with a bit more energy. You were just like...
You were
doing my vibe.
Let's get into watching suggestions.
Yes, there we go.
I feel better. You're right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For forcing me to do that. We were talking about Hilary Duff, and I decided on Sunday afternoon, I had a couple of hours between doing all of the things and doing more all of the things, that I would sit down and watch a movie on Disney Plus, and I saw Cheaper by the Dozen pop up there. And I'm like, let's do that. I don't think I was in the right mood, or it's the wrong year to watch that, because it's not peak Steve Martin.
Not at all.
But it's also like a time capsule of that time, like those early 2000s, because it's got everybody.
Has it got James Marsden? Is he in it? Is he the
No. It's the Superman TV show. Oh.
Dean Cain?
No. Oh, my God. Why can't
Tom Welling.
Yes.
Yes. That's why. Yeah.
I was like, I cannot. And Ashton Kutcher is the boyfriend of the girl from the movie with it was set in a bar and you can't fight the moonlight.
Coyote Ugly.
Thank you.
Oh, Piper Parabo.
Yes.
This game is fun. Can we keep playing who's in Cheaper in the Dozen?
Okay.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
By the Dozen.
Is the mum Bonnie Hunt or is that Parenthood? From Beethoven.
Holy dooly. There was a Dax Shepard cameo.
Yeah.
He was a cameraman for the Oprah show. That was,
and
I was
like,
is that?
I bet that was at a period where it wasn't even a cameo. That was just early Dax Shepard work.
Yeah, probably. Bonnie Hunt, I mean, far out, was the mother. Who else? I'm just having a bit of a scroll through. There were kids that you saw and you were like, either I remember them from the trailers for this or else they've gone on to do other things. But that's Stephen Anthony Lawrence, who was always like the kid that nobody likes.
Sure.
In stuff. He was a neighbor, but it was the parents that nobody liked. Oh, Wayne Knight. I knew there was another one. Wayne Knight, yeah. He was in it.
Exasperated?
Yeah, of course. Keep falling off a ladder.
So many kids.
I realised the bit that I laughed the most at was the bit that I remember from the trailer where one kid sees something gross, vomits, and then the next kid comes in, sees the vomit, slips over on it, and then vomits.
Mm.
And then I saw that there was another, like a sequel. I went, I think I'm all right now. Thanks.
It's not, yeah. I remember seeing them. I think I took my brothers, like the much younger ones, to see it when they were younger, and it was pretty ordinary.
Yeah. Mm. It just wasn't as funny as it could have been. Because I think also I was comparing it with Parenthood, which is an absolute classic. And
it's
fair
to compare.
Fair to compare. What did you watch that you thought was, all right?
So I watched a film called 21 Bridges. It stars Chadwick Boseman, who you might know better as T'Challa from Black Panther.
Oh, right.
Yes. He's a New York detective who he gets called in when crime happens right away and people are on the run, because he's really good at deducing where people are going to go.
Really fast.
So there is some guys go to rob a dealer of cocaine, and there turns out to be a whole lot more there. There's a big shootout, and some cops arrive during that, and eight cops get killed.
Ooh.
So they swing, the cops swing into action. This happens at 1 o'clock in the morning, and this guy's like, shut the city. Like, what do you mean? Like, there's 21 bridges, lock them down. Four tunnels out, subways, not going, we are going to net these guys in and find them. And it's a weird movie to talk about because I enjoyed it, but it was pretty formulaic. And I can lay the blame at, I won't say who, but about 15 minutes in, we meet one of the senior police constables, and it's a big bit of stunt casting that if you've seen enough movies, you're going to go, oh, I know how this is going to happen.
Okay, yeah.
And that's exactly what, like, it was right. Like, oh, you don't, okay.
So how far into this?
10, 15 minutes.
And you called it then?
Yeah, wow. And it was exactly what I called of, you know, there's clearly going to be some corruption or something going on there like this. Chadwick acts his heart out and does really well. And there are some cool deranged criminals through there and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, so it's a touch too formulaic, which was a bit of a shame.
The premise is interesting because the premise immediately makes you think, well, me, of two things, which is 9/11 when they had to lock everybody into Manhattan. And the other one is the Kurt Russell movie.
Escape From, yes.
Where everyone's locked in.
I wish it was more like that. This is weirdly putting the police on a pedestal and yet at the same time pulling them down.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's no one's a particularly good person.
I see.
It was one of those ones. Anyway, I've been sitting on my iTunes for a couple of weeks now.
So you thought you'd get it out. Yeah. Well, I've been continuing to watch Nora from Queens, which is the Awkwafina show, and there was a great cameo. Mainly I thought it was great from Natasha Lyonne. In it.
Sure.
Because I was not looking at the TV when she came on.
Oh, you that voice?
No, I thought it was Awkwafina talking, and I never realized until that scene they have the same voice.
You could put Kathleen Turner in that mix.
Yes.
And the three of them, I think.
I'd just be confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a quick little commentary. I mean, the show's still hilarious, it still gives me giggles, but that blew my mind. I had to rewind it. I'm like, was it just because I wasn't paying attention? I'm like, no, they have the voice.
That is hilarious you say that because I was watching the John Mulaney Netflix special, the recent one he did of the Sack Lunch Bunch, and I wasn't looking at the screen and I heard the voice. I'm like, oh, Natasha Lyonne's on this. And it was Natasha Lyonne it was her. So I know exactly what you're talking about. That voice is so distinctive.
And I think the only thing that is different is their intonation on things, where hers is a little more cynical thing, where Awkwafina's is more, I'm just saying stupid things because I'm a stupid character in this show. When Natasha Young's like, come on, hey.
Hey, I'm walking. Hey,
that's exactly it.
Gotta be any more New York. That was a terrible New York. Apologies.
Apologies to all the New Yorkers.
That's not a watch. This is a watch. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, so we're ramping up what we've watched. What was something you quite enjoyed?
Very briefly, I'll bundle two together just very briefly. One was Impractical Jokers. This week they had a special guest for one segment. It was a segment called Who Did The Fart with Jeff Daniels. And they had
he being dumb and dumber, Jeff Daniels?
No, he was being very serious, like Speed.
Newsroom.
Yes, that thing. So what it was meant to be is that they were working as assistants on a photo shoot for Jeff Daniels, them and another person. And right before Jeff Daniels walks in, the other guys have a button that makes a fart sound go and they have to spray a fart smell and it stinks. And Jeff Daniels gets brought in by his assistant, left there, and they're setting up, and he turns around angry. Who farted? Who did the fart? I want to know. And they have to get this other person from the public to admit to doing the fart. Anyway, it was hilarious. That was great. The other thing that was hilarious was I watched Pete Davidson's special, Netflix special, Alive in New York.
Speaking of New York?
Yeah, speaking of New York. Now, he is someone that works fantastic in short bursts. He's like, he kills every time he does Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. I've seen bits and pieces of his stand-up before, and he has very solid bits, but he's not a one-hour long-form storyteller.
Right.
And that kind of shows in the show. There's very clear segments that he's doing. But my word, does he have a lot to say about Ariana Grande.
Really?
Yep.
Worth watching then. Bit of gossip.
Bit for that. And the other bit I think you'd quite enjoy is he has a long story about how much he used to care about getting Louis C.K.'s approval.
Okay.
And how
right.
he really messed up and didn't get it one day. And then a few years later, that didn't matter to him at all.
Doesn't matter at all.
So it's a very, like, it's a great story.
So I wonder if this was the show, I think last year people who were yes. going had to sign that.
This is that one because of the stuff he says about Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
it's
right.
like, oh, you could take that to a tabloid journalist
and yep.
make a lot of money.
Yeah, right, right.
Starting a shit stirring story.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Do you reckon she's watched it?
Yeah. But he prefaces it with like, I wasn't going to say anything. And then one of my friends
said, you should say something.
And one of my friends told me what she said of how she didn't even know who I was and she just dated me as a distraction. So I'm going to use that for my career now.
Okay.
And that, yeah.
That was right. Last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Kate Beckinsale was after
yes.
her. I don't know if they're still together.
No.
Doesn't
no,
seem.
No, no.
That he's, didn't he's seem like a thing that was
gone through a lot. He talks a lot about how he's changed his lifestyle and he moved in back in with his mum.
Oh, really?
Yes, they have an apartment and he has the lower level and she has the top one. And there's like a MTV Cribs that he shows it off and
did he open the fridge and it was all filled with Cristal or whatever it's called?
No.
Okay.
He's trying to give off a bit of a cleaner image.
Okay.
Just a touch.
Sparkling.
I don't
water.
Believe it.
I told you earlier that I watched a whole entire series of something
you
in the
did
space
mention
of
this.
2 days. Yeah, the episodes were 20. I think one was about 24 minutes an episode. It was on Netflix, only 7 episodes, and it was I Am Not Okay With This, which is based off the
superhero.
Comic.
Superhero, yeah.
Yep. Now, I did decide to have a bit of a look on Goodreads just to see what people thought of the actual graphic novel originally. And, oh, they either love it or they hate it. There's no 3-star. It's either 1 or 5. People were really into it and others were not okay with it at all. I think it was – I don't know how closely the show is to the feel of the book because I've never read it, but some people said it was very heavy and too heavy for them. I think if that was the impression they got, then it was sort of not cleared up, but lightened up a little.
Sure. I've not read it.
Well, it reminded me of stuff that you have spoken about in the past where it's a superhero who is living in reality who cannot control her superpowers and they're a detriment.
Sure.
Not something that will save the world. You see her first and she looks like Carrie from the show, the movie Carrie in the beginning. You're like, what just happened? And that is from the very last episode.
Okay.
So they keep flashing back and forward. It's got Sophia Lillis in it who played Amy Smart's younger version in Sharp Objects. And that was the first place I'd seen her. She's been in other stuff,
mm-hmm.
but she was really good in that. And can I tell you how much they look alike? I kept thinking they did some sort of CGI to make her look younger, but it was actually Sophia. So Wyatt Olef, I'd seen in stuff. He's another character in there, and he is brilliant. He is almost like your in Pretty in Pink.
Ducky?
Yeah, Ducky. He's almost that, but not friend-zoned as much.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, and I think I really enjoyed it because the episodes were really quick.
Yep.
They came in, they told you something, and they left again. There was a real 80s nostalgia to it, which seems to be a thing that they are really into in all TV shows.
Definitely a thing.
Which is weird because they're all teenage film movies and TV shows that are doing it, but teenagers these days weren't even around in the 80s.
But the people that made the 80s teen movies weren't
teens. Making it. It's like Ready Player One, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's going to happen I think it's going to happen every 20 years because you had the spate of like American Pie and Road Trip and those shows at the end of the very 90s for a few years. And those were the people that had been growing up in the early 80s.
And there were a lot of things from the 80s that were set in the late 50s, early 60s and that hippie era. So, yeah. I mean, it does. I look at, and I've spoken about it before, Sex Education with Gillian Anderson. And I was really super confused in the beginning of that because it looked like it was from the 90s. but then they had mobile phones and stuff. It's a style. It's a style thing going on. But this show was really good. It didn't outstay its welcome.
Yep.
There definitely has to be a second season. I'd be very surprised if there isn't. So now I have to wait a whole year for that, I assume. By then I will have completely forgotten about it and I'll need that recap.
Yeah.
Thank God for the recap.
Yeah, recaps are good.
What did you love this week while you watched things?
Look, it's a two for one again. There were two things that I really enjoyed. One was the return of American Ninja Warrior Jr.
Oh, fun.
So season two has kicked off and Shay was not really interested in season one yet. It was a year and a half ago or whatever. But she got really into proper American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, she loves it.
So she was stoked that Junior is on and they have groupings of 9 to 10-year-olds, 11 and 12, 13, 14. They train with actual ninjas from the proper show and they do some pretty cool challenges.
Fun?
Yeah. There's nothing more you need to go into other than that. It's just kicked off. I think episode 2's on tonight or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. So super fresh.
We'll be following that. And on the flip side of not a new thing, Fresh Off the Boat had its finale.
Mm.
And they definitely ended on the terms they wanted, but it felt like they maybe ended an episode or two earlier than they could have.
Okay. That's interesting because sometimes you watch those shows and you know they're ending and they can feel a couple episodes too long.
Well, they normally have 23 episode seasons and this one was 16. And it kind of, like, it's not that they do big arcs in there anyway, but it felt a little bit shorter. It did end on a very nice note of flashing forward to I think it was Harvard University of someone graduating there, and then it's revealed to be the youngest brother. The oldest one now has a goatee and is a chef and running a kitchen, which is always what was going to happen because it's based on a book of a real guy.
Mm.
But then the middle brother who had aspirations of being an actor and he'd come to that decision quite late was now a famous commercial actor.
Nice.
That sort of stuff. So yeah. It was a nice ending. I think everyone on that show is just fine coming out of that. Randall Park's got plenty of stuff lined up. Yeah. He's going to be in, I think, WandaVision. Yeah. The
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Cool.
Because he was in Ant-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
Playing Jimmy Woo. So he's got that. Constance Wu has got plenty of stuff lined up. And the youngest kid who was Evan. Yeah, Evan. I've seen him pop up in other things too. And so they'll be all right. The oldest kid, Eddie, I don't think he's going to be in too much else.
That's awkward.
Oh, he's great, but he's not a great actor.
Yeah.
He was great for that character.
I see what you mean. Yes.
Anyway.
All done and dusted. Wow.
It's done. So Constance Wu, you can go and do your other stuff now.
Yeah. Finally, she says. Gosh, been so patient.
Frustration.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We've got a quiz coming up for us very soon, but let's quickly tap into The Walking Dead. It was interesting. I was looking at Twitter yesterday and it was just a question of what show and what season hooked you? And somebody had replied, The Walking Dead, the first season. And then I thought, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to read some of the comments. And a lot of people are like, yeah, that first season, I just devoured it. And then a lot of the comments, as always with shows that have been going on for ages, are just full of people who are saying, I don't watch it anymore. Why are you following this thread? Anyway, yeah. One of them said, the first season I loved, but the other seasons were too long and drawn out. I mean, that's interesting because we've just been talking about shorter seasons and shows not outstaying their welcome. And that first season of The Walking Dead was maybe 6 or 8 episodes. It wasn't 6. Very long, yeah. And could that be a reason why maybe we do have those filler episodes and seasons where you go, I forgot that person even existed until then because they've been away for 5 episodes. If you condense it back into 6, a lot has to happen in every episode.
Yeah, and nothing happened in that episode last night.
There were some people who died that we didn't know, some people who may have died that we do know, and a couple of people who injured each other.
I appreciated that they were trying to make Beta like a Michael Myers or that sort of thing. Some of that was fun. And there was a cool fight scene.
But and I enjoyed his hand coming out of the grave. That was cool.
But none of it had any stakes because they weren't going to kill Daryl because we know he just re-upped his contract. They weren't going to kill Alpha because it's not the end of the season. They need to build to that.
Mm.
They weren't going to kill – you know what I mean? Mm. Like it was one of those sorts of it was just moving pieces for the big fight that will come in 5 episodes.
I had forgotten about Lydia. I'd forgotten she was the daughter. I'd forgotten Alpha had a daughter, and I forgot that she was somewhere. I'd just completely forgotten about her.
Where's Eugene?
Would he be in Hilltop? I don't know either.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yep.
As I say, the fight was pretty cool.
It was cool.
There were some cool moments.
I'm not okay with Rosita deciding that she should go sleeveless.
I noticed that too. I was like, what? At what point?
Why is that a choice? I also don't understand why, you know, people like Jerry and that, although maybe he does. No, that he does. He often wears armor on his forearms.
Yeah, he cuffs up.
Yeah.
He gets a bit of guard going, this and stuff. But
your whole arm should be, and your ankles really need to be protected.
But Rosita's always been guns out, like suns out, guns out. And it's just such an odd choice.
She just has no time for anyone either. Anyway, that's...
I know she was meant to be dealing with a lot in this episode, but her face didn't show that much.
Her face only ever shows teenage angst. Yeah. Quiz time?
Quiz time.
Movie mates, name as many movies these actors have starred in together as you can.
All right, hang on a second.
Oh, Cap's back.
I'm putting my hat on backwards. That's when you know Ash means fucking business. I'm about to take down a real Pokemon trainer.
Here we go. Julie Roberts and George Clooney.
All right, so they've done at least one Ocean's movie together. Maybe two. Did she cameo in the second one, I think? Yes.
11 okay. and 12.
They did, what was that terrible romantic comedy called? It was Sandra Bullock in it as well, and they were all Hollywood stars, maybe Hugh Grant? No.
I think you're naming a whole heap of, right. It kind of sounds like that movie that John Cusack was in with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was called. Okay, so one movie, he was a television presenter and she was the director of the show, and it was about money and stocks and stuff.
I can't remember what that was called.
Money Monster. And then there was one more called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which I remember the name of, but I don't think I ever saw it.
That's a really good one.
From like mid-90s?
Yeah, where he thinks or may actually be a CIA operative.
And I think he directed it.
Is Sam Rockwell in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Once again, proving the Sam Rockwellness of it all. What about Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock?
All right. They've done Speed. They've done The Lake House.
You know, that's all. In my head, they have done so many movies together. But they haven't.
They didn't even do Speed 2.
No, that had...
Jason...
Patrick, yeah. Yeah. I think post-hair shaving, maybe. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Oh, all right. So the Cornetto trilogy, do we need to name all three or can I just say that?
What?
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz and The World's End. Mm-hmm. They've also done Paul.
Yep.
They've also done that school movie from last year. He was the groundskeeper and Simon Pegg was a teacher or something. They both had a cameo. I don't know if they were on screen together.
Box Trolls?
No. Box Trolls is an animated movie. They also have a cameo together in Land of the Dead, the fourth Romero zombie film.
Oh, I didn't know
film.
That.
Yes. They're chained up on a wall together.
I wouldn't mind watching that. They were also in Adventures of Tintin.
Of course. Of course.
But I understand, like, that's kind of a hard one to remember because...
It is, and Nick Frost is in that twice.
Yes. Thompson and Thompson.
Yes.
Grindhouse and Ice Age Continental Drift.
Grindhouse. Yes, and they were both squirrels or something.
Those things. What about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck? We talked about them earlier.
All right. They were both in Dogma.
Mm-hmm.
They were both in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot and Strikes Back.
Yes.
They were both in the first one, The Good Will Hunting.
Yep. You've missed a couple of Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm going through my mind. There was Chasing Amy. Is Matt Damon in there?
He's in it. I'm just,
and then the other one, not Jiggly.
Jersey
Girl. Jersey
Girl, you've got it.
Jersey Girl.
I didn't write it down, but now I'm wondering if, I didn't think about it, if they were both in Mallrats. Was Matt Damon in Mallrats?
No, Matt Damon is not in Mallrats.
Okay. They were also in Field of Dreams. I had to look this up. They were extras at the baseball.
Nice. I do remember hearing that somewhere back in the day. I didn't
know that. It's a nice little trivia question.
It is. It's good.
Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle.
Yep. There's one you won't get because I never heard of it, but there's one more involving a volcano.
Oh, Joe and the Volcano. What do you mean you haven't heard of that?
Oh, no. Sorry. The other one I've never heard of is called Ithaca.
Oh.
Yeah, Ithaca from maybe 2010 or something.
Is that the Mayan film maybe?
If it is, I'll watch it, but if it's not, no.
Was she in Joe and the Volcano? Yeah. It threw me off then. I was like, yeah.
So three big movies that they did together. No wonder, once again, like Keanu and Sandra, you think of them.
Well, Meg Ryan was America's sweetheart until she broke Dennis Quaid's heart.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fuck you, Meg Ryan.
And then she went on with
Rusty.
Which was
they made that terrible movie of being kidnapped in the jungle.
Yep. That was after Gladiator, definitely.
Yeah.
Was it before where he was the mathematician?
Yes.
Yeah, it was wedged in there. Last one. John and Joan Cusack. Gotta have them. Gotta have them.
Oh, okay. Together. All right. Is she in Say Anything?
Nope.
Damn. Is she in, I want to say, either 1408 or Insomnia?
Oh, I remember that movie.
1408's great.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
No, she's not in that.
She's not in either of those. Think Nick Hornby.
Oh, High Fidelity.
Mm.
Okay.
She was in that We Want to Go Back in Time to a Molly Ringwald movie, not with Ducky.
16 Candles.
16 Candles. There's two more I vaguely remember. I don't know if you're going to get them. Do you want me just to read them?
Sure.
Because they're sort of...
They're real obscure?
Yeah. So Class, Grandview, USA. I remember watching Gross Point Blank, but I have no recollection of
that's it.
Broadcast News, Cradle, Will Rock, and War, Inc. and Martian Child.
All right. Most of those I don't know.
But I don't.
I'm in my head thinking, what's Cradle, Will Rock? And Siri goes, Cradle, Will Rock, and showed me. Weird.
The actual movie?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Gross Point Blank holds up real well. I watched it again about 2 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's good.
Quick
fun.
Synopsis? Is that the one with the...
Dan Aykroyd. He's the hitman who goes back to his high school reunion and he's got to bump off someone there.
I might have to watch this again.
It's really good. If you enjoy Barry.
Yes.
This is the DNA of that is this movie.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. And it's got the Cusacks in it as well. Amazing. I also want to watch 1408 or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that's good.
I've only ever seen that once at the movies. And it was because I had free tickets. I'm like, this is too scary. I'm not going. And then I went and watched it because I had to for work.
It was really good.
It was really good. It was really good. Mm. That's another good quiz as well.
Well done. Thank you.
Who would have thought Field of Dreams? I've never seen that movie because why would I? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Really? You build it. Welcome. It's important in the Kevin Costner oeuvre. The same reason I watched fucking Dancing with Wolves.
My next question is, which one would you prefer?
Oh, Field of Dreams is great.
Okay.
Like, you know how there's certain movies that women love that guys just don't get why? Field of Dreams.
It's like The Notebook.
It's a flip of that. Yes. It's one of those things that it talks to you. It's a lot about unspoken things with your father, unresolved issues with your childhood, this sort of stuff, and moving through. And it resonates with guys on a level. For some reason. I don't know. Heartstrings and this sort of stuff.
My favorite Kevin Costner movie is mainly because of the memory of going to see his Robin Hood one.
Sure.
And me going, he's got a mullet. But then Morgan Freeman was there and he was pretty good. But then on the flip side, you had the Bryan Adams song, which was played repeatedly ad nauseum.
But you also had Alan Rickman.
He did have Alan Rickman. That's true. On the bad side, though, it was really long. But on the good side, though, it wasn't as long as Dancing with Wolves, I assume.
And then we also got Men in Tights. So,
which is far superior in every single way. I mean, look at who the main character is played by.
Amazing.
You just can't get better than that. On that note, that's it. If you have a quiz idea, you can send it to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, I'm going to wish Tom adieu.